Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
This month the Lord has spoken to us. For many who have been following, the Lord says that this month, the month of April, is what manner of love is this. The Lord took us to 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1, where he says that, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us, that we will be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. What a privilege, what a grace, what a favor for you and I to be called sons of God. We must understand that the very essence of God is love, and the very essence of love is God. Simply put, God is love, and love is God. Somebody is blessed. There is no true love that any man can give except that which God gives. So that makes God the source of every true love. And we understand from previous messages that we've heard that there is a love that already exists between the Godhead. When I talk about the Godhead, I'm talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. On countless occasions, we heard Jesus talking about his Father, and he said that how the Father has loved me, so I also love you. He said that the Father loved me to the extent that he has given all things into my hands. We also recorded that the Father also loved the Son so dearly, or the Son also loved the Father so dearly, to the extent that he obeyed his commandments. Not only between the Son and the Father, but we also saw an interaction based on Jesus' description concerning him and the Holy Spirit. That presupposes that there also exists the love between the Holy Spirit and Jesus the Son. So there is a love kind of relationship that exists between the Godhead. Love is in love. No, God is in love with God. Tell somebody, God is in love with God. Push the person a little bit and say, God is in love with God. And this love is expressed between them in their interactions, in their creativity, in whatever they do. We see this kind of love existing among the Godhead. Praise God. And we see the love of God manifested in many ways. We see the love of God through, or demonstrated through, his faithfulness. His faithfulness. The faithfulness of our Lord, the Bible says that they never fails. They never fails. God is faithful. Whenever, I mean, Willie was singing about the favor of God, it is one way that God demonstrates his word, his love towards us. We see the love of God being demonstrated through his power or his presence. In an atmosphere like this, the love of God can be demonstrated to the extent that the presence of God will be so strong in this atmosphere. And when the presence of God comes, anything is possible. So somebody can be healed, somebody can be delivered, somebody, all because the love of God is present. Tonight, may the love of God be so strong over your life. Now the scriptures tells us that, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us. That means we need to know how much the Father loves. Now, everything that I've said about the love that exists between God presupposes that There is a kind of love, or an amount of love, if I can put it, that the Father has for the Son. And for that matter, whoever also comes to believe in the Son, the Father loves the person the same way he loves his Son. And that is a very important statement that I want to emphasize, because there comes a time in our lives that we go through situations, we go through difficulties, and we think that God doesn't love us. But he loves us to the extent that he was able to even give up his own Son for your sake. According to Romans chapter number 8, verse number 32, the Bible makes it clear that if he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how much he will not with him also freely give us all things. The love that God had for his Son is the same kind of love that he has for you. Your amen is weak. That tells you and me that God hasn't forgotten about you. If he hasn't forgotten about his Son, then he hasn't forgotten about you. If he can do anything for his Son, then he can do anything for you. If he put everything together with his Son and gave him to us, then God can give you everything that you need. I want you to tap somebody and tell them, God still loves you. I want you to understand that when we come into Jesus Christ, or when we come to believe in Jesus, we have not come as individuals who doesn't know what we're doing, or we've not come as people who have just been called, but we have also been called into the expression of God's love. We have been called to participate in the love of God. This love of God existed between God and man even before Eden. Before man fell, the love and the fellowship that bonded God and man was very intact. Now, after man had fallen, their fellowship broke. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that a man died spiritually. Now, there came a point in time in life whereby God saw that everything that he had planned for man, everything that he has created, is going to the trash, is going mess. Nothing seems to be working. It looks like the devil has had the upper hand, and therefore the love that God has for man has been turned upside down. Now man sees God as an enemy, and therefore there is no relationship anymore as a result of sin. Therefore, God, in his love, you see, love always wants to have things restored. Love always draws things unto himself. As a matter of fact, love always demands. The Father's love, the Father's heart was boiling with love to the extent that he didn't want to see that which he has created to be destroyed by the enemy. So the Bible says that he had a master plan. Tell somebody, a master plan. A complete program to be able to restore man back to the love that he has. I'm laying a foundation tonight, and it's going to be wonderful, I'm telling you. Keep following me. Therefore, God sought to create a breed, or a special people, a new creation. God sought to gather or recreate men who will be filled with his love. A people that will love him as he wants to be loved. A people who will receive his love and express his love. Therefore, in his divine program and in his master plan, he said, In order for you to know how much I love you, I will send my son Jesus Christ to you. You are so much important to God that he can let go of his only son. Somebody did not hear me. Are you following me tonight? I said you are so much important to God that he can let go of his only son. Now 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us. Now, the word behold simply means look. Tell somebody, look. Don't sleep on him. Say, look. Now, God says, if you want to know how much I love you, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. The love that I had for him. But to the extent that for your sake, I had to let him die such a shameful death. So the Bible says, at the fullness of time, God brought Jesus Christ to this world. Jesus came to live as any other person would live here on earth. He went through life as any other person would go through life. But the Bible makes it clear, he lived an exceptional life. A life that was without blemish. The Bible says, in his divine plan, Jesus had to die. And it was not going to be a normal death or a common death, but it was going to be an exceptional death. He was chastised, he was bruised, he was spit upon, all kinds of things were done against him. But it was for your good. Hallelujah. The Bible makes it clear in John chapter number 3, verse number 14. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus, just as Moses hung up the serpent on the pole, in the same way, the Son of Man will also be lifted. And the Bible says that when he is lifted, he will draw all men unto himself. In the days of Moses, the serpent became a savior. And in the New Testament, the savior became a serpent. He died a shameful death. All kinds of things were meted against him for your good. But when he was hung on the cross, the Bible said, he shouted with a loud voice that it is finished. It is finished. Now underline the word "it is finished" or write it in capital letters. It is finished means it is finished. It means that the Father's love has fully been accomplished. The Father's purpose, the Father's plan, the Father's will for humanity has been achieved. The reason why God had to love the world has been fulfilled. The purpose for God to have a new creation, a breed of people who would receive his love, believe his love, express his love, has been accomplished. Jesus said, it is finished. Not will be finished, not shall be, not many days to come, but it is finished. I came this morning not to waste your time. I came this morning not to bore you with many words, but I came to re-echo the words of Jesus tonight in your spirit, in case you have forgotten. He said with a loud voice on the cross that it is finished.
It is finished to your shame. It is finished to your curses. It is finished to your diseases, sicknesses. All is finished. Your amen is weak. Push somebody and say, it is finished. Another person and say, it is finished. Now, I want us to go into the scriptures. This is where the defining moment is. Don't miss it. I want us to go into the scriptures and know what happens when Jesus said, it is finished. What really took place? What has changed? What is happening when Jesus said, it is finished? I pray that as you engage your heart, may you live here with one common purpose, that all is finished. I said all is finished. You wouldn't have to live another day to pay any debt again. It has completely been taken care of. Shout, it is finished. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, verse number 8 downwards, the Bible makes it clear. Colossians chapter number 2. Is somebody following me now? Now he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Beware. There are many deceiving spirits. There are many who are leading people astray. Let's not follow after the world, but let us follow after Christ. Anything that you do without the leading of the Spirit means you are following after traditions and you are following after this world. Drop it. Anything that you do without the leadings of the Spirit means that you are following after the traditions of men, not after the world. Many people doesn't understand what happened on the cross. Many people don't know the meaning of Good Friday. It is time to rise up and come to the knowledge of what God wants us to know. Somebody is blessed. Keep on, verse number 9. He said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. In who? In Christ, the anointed one, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse number 10, he said, and ye are complete in him. Those who said amen, may the Lord bless you. One can be, why are you responding? He said, we are complete. The word complete also means we are finished. I'm going somewhere. We are finished in him. We are complete in Christ. Let me tell you, everything about your salvation is already completed. Oh, God bless you people. Next time, come and sit in front. Hallelujah. Now, which is the head of all principalities and power? Verse number 11. Go on. Now, this is where the deal is. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. It means that Jesus was circumcised, made, not with hands. In the same way, you too have been circumcised with a circumcision without the hand. Now he says, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Which means that Jesus Christ came, the circumcision that was done on your body was done on him. The circumcision that was actually done on you was done on Jesus Christ. He took it on his own body. He was circumcised on your behalf. But that is not a point of reference. Go to verse number 12. He said, buried with him in baptism. Now listen to me. Listen to me. How did God express his love in making us a new creation? In making us people who will be recipient of his love and will be people who would also express his love. Now he said, we were buried with him in baptism. Now, when were you buried with him in baptism? There are many baptisms in scripture. When the Bible talks about baptism, we have the Holy Ghost baptism, we have water baptism, we have, but the Greek word for this is baptizo, which means to immerse. Tell somebody to immerse. Now, or to envelop, to cover fully. Now, I can have a book and a pen. If I should baptize this pen, how many of you can see? In the book, it means that I'm putting this pen inside the book. So the pen has been what? Baptized in the book. In other words, what it means is that wherever the book will go, the pen would also what? Go. Whichever affects the book also affects the pen. Now, this is what happened. When Jesus died, for everybody who comes to Jesus Christ, he said, you have been baptized. It means that you have been enveloped in Christ. That is the reason why the devil cannot affect you. That is the reason why he cannot destroy you. Because you have been baptized into Christ. Is somebody following me? Now he said, wherein also ye are risen with what? With him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. Listen, everybody come alive. Push somebody and say, come alive. I'm not trying to bore you, but I'm giving you a key. I'm giving somebody what? A key. Listen, you wouldn't understand the death of Jesus Christ until you understand your position in him. Listen to me. He said, we were buried with him through baptism. We were immersed. We were covered in him. He moved as we moved. He stood as we stood. The Bible says that he was risen through the faith. Now, this is what Paul is trying to tell us. He said that before you can assess, before you can know and receive that which is in the death, the barrier, the resurrection, the ascension and the sitting of Christ, you must come to believe. He said, through the faith of the operation of God. Nobody believes. Nobody can be able to receive that which God wants for them than by faith. And listen, what faith are we talking about? Faith is what you believe. And faith believes all things. Now, let's go to the scriptures. And let me enlighten you a little bit as we go. Something is about to break forth. Is somebody here with me? Now, just exercise patience. You are going to receive something you have never received before. Now, in order for you to get a full benefit of what Christ did for you, you must be able to exercise your faith. Tell somebody you must be able to exercise your faith. How do you get the benefit of the cross? Say, exercise your faith. And listen, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, faith believes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have all spoken. We also believed, and therefore speak. Somebody is blessed. Therefore, faith speaks. Tell somebody, faith speaks. I'm getting somewhere. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 6. Faith does not only speak, but faith also carry a particular mindset, a particular way of speaking. Is somebody following me? Now he says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Now this is what he's saying. He said, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this way. This is how faith works. This is the demonstration of faith. It speaks, but this is how it speaks. Faith say not in thy heart, who shall. So what he's saying is that faith doesn't speak of the future. Is somebody here? Put somebody and say, listen to Pastor. Faith doesn't speak of what? Come on, you are not here. Faith doesn't speak of what? Is somebody following me? Now go to verse number 7. Go to verse number 7. He said that all who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Now, verse number 8. He said, but what saith it? The word. Oh my God. The word. Everybody follow me. Is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Is somebody following me? And thy heart. That is the word of faith we believe. Now, he's saying that faith is not in the future. Faith is not in some days to come. But he said that faith is the word which is in your mouth that you believe. In other words, faith is now. You are sleeping. Come on, push someone and say, faith is now. Now, faith, this is how it is expressed. Faith speaks of what has already been accomplished. Listen. Faith, which is now, speaks of what has already been accomplished or what has already been done. That you speak. You don't speak what will be, but you speak what has already been done. We are going somewhere. I wish people follow me, because you can miss it. We are talking about how we benefit from what Jesus did on the cross. And Paul is saying that you can only benefit through the faith of the operation of God. And how do you engage your faith? Number one, faith always believes. It speaks. And it does not speak the future, but it speaks that which has been accomplished. It speaks of the now. Tell somebody, it speaks of the now. Somebody who is following me is going to be blessed tonight. I pray that God opens your understanding. Is somebody here with me? So if you are not talking it, then it is not faith. It is something which you believe, and it is by conviction. When you believe something and you don't speak it, it remains conviction. But the moment you speak it, it becomes faith. So faith is that which you ought, you speak. If I don't know what Jesus has done for me, then what do I speak? Is somebody here with me? So I must come to know that what Jesus did on the cross, then I speak of it, and that becomes my faith. Somebody is blessed. If it is not done, you can't speak it. We only speak of that which is what? Done. And that which is what? Accomplished. Somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. So faith is always believes. It is always believes. Faith is always is. Say it after me. Faith is always is. Hallelujah. Now, this will help you to know that the word says it is finished. Jesus on the cross didn't say it shall be, but he says it is what? Finished. You must not say it shall be finished or it will be finished, but faith always says it is. Somebody's getting there. I said you are getting there. Now listen to me. It doesn't say that it will be done. Many of us in our conversations, we say, oh, BBF, fine. BBF, how many of you have said something before? Push the person and say, BBF, fine. But that is not faith. Tell somebody that is not faith. Faith doesn't speak of BBF, fine. But faith says, I hear fine. Now, let me come through. No, I want you to get me very well. I'm a man of prayer, but I want to establish something so that when you pray for even 5 minutes, you know that something has taken place in your life. Listen to me. There were people in the days of Jesus. There were people in the days of Jesus who Jesus said that they had faith. But in real sense, they didn't have faith. Listen to me. Listen to me. The first example is the woman with an issue of blood. This woman purposed in her heart that if I mind, but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. Somebody follow me. Jesus, after he touched the woman, after the woman touched Jesus, Jesus said that your faith has made you whole. But that is not faith. The woman said, listen to me carefully, I'm pushing something. The woman said that your faith, if I might touch, I know I shall be made whole. The reason why Jesus said that the woman, your faith has made you whole, is the fact that the woman was actually living in a certain dispensation whereby Jesus had not finished his work yet. So the woman was tapping right from the time into the time that Jesus will be hanged on the tree and declare that it is finished. Is somebody following me? How many of you understand this? So, even though the woman said that I know I shall be made whole, Jesus still said, hey, your faith has made you whole. Because you can see that very soon I will be hanged on the cross. And that which you are claiming now will be finished on the cross. So, your faith has made you whole. Another example is also the daughter of Jairus, the man whose daughter was also saved. Jesus said the same thing. And many of us are basing our faith on some of this example. All this happened before Jesus died. And for that matter, their faith was in waiting because behind them was no finished work. Is somebody here with me? Somebody will be blessed today. I wish somebody can concentrate. But there was a woman that Jesus said, this woman has a great faith. The woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, the Syrophoenician woman. Do you know when Jesus was trying to deny this woman access, because the woman wasn't a Jew? Jesus said, how can we give the children's bread to the dogs? But listen to what the woman said. He said, I may be a dog, but the children eat present. The children eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table. The woman was living in the dispensation whereby the old covenant, you know, Jesus was completing the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. You understanding? The Old Covenant has not ended yet. But then the woman know very well that the children have access even to the New Covenant, because Jesus is going to die and he's going to be hanged on the tree, and everyone that names the name of Jesus shall be saved. Then Jesus said, you have a great faith. Come on. Come on. Come on. I don't know about you, but we are living in a day whereby we will not believe God for tomorrow, but we will start believing God for the now. Something is about to break on somebody right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. I said something is about to break on you right now. In the name of Jesus. This is where the price was paid. It was faith through which we are able to benefit from the things that Jesus did on the cross. Somebody is blessed. Now, because you are in a new covenant where the work has been finished already. I told you the example of the woman with the blood, the issue of blood, and that of Jairus. All their faith was in the future, in hope of the finished work. But as we stand here today, as we sit here on just immediate or Easter celebration, everything that has to do with your redemption has already been accomplished. And it has already been done. So your confession to every area of your life must not will be, must not be, will shall be, but it is done. It is finished. It is completed. My healing is completed. My salvation is done. I have been set free. Not will be, because Jesus has finish the work. I pray that on this day you will come to realization that you don't need to live and pay any debt anymore. You don't need to live and carry any burden anymore. You don't need to live and walk in darkness anymore. It has already been done. I said it has already been done. Your deliverance has already been done. In the name of Jesus, it is happening. So you say that it is well. Ah, tell somebody it is well. All your confessions must say that I am healed. Not I shall be healed. I am delivered. Not I shall be delivered. I am saved. Not I shall be saved. I am better. Not I shall be better. Are there people here who are part of the new creation, a new breed, where everything is accomplished for them? We stand in the new covenant where all things are made well. All things are finished on the cross. We stand here not to recreate. We stand here not to do, not to struggle, but to receive the Father's love, to receive what the Father has done by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It is done. It is done. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. Something is about to break loose. Hallelujah. So in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, we understand that it is through faith that the operations of God are received. It is through this operation that we are placed in Christ, through his baptism, through the baptism, through the baptism. Tell somebody, through the baptism. You are placed in him. You are placed in him. You are placed in Christ. I said you are placed in Christ. The other day when they took Jesus to the whipping post and they started beating him, in his suffering, you were placed in him. So as they were beating him, God saw you being beaten. And for that matter, you don't need to live and be beaten anymore. Is somebody here with me? Throughout Jesus' early ministry, we were not in him. This is very important. When Jesus was on earth, we were not in him. But the moment he decided to go to the cross, when he was taken to the whipping post, when he was taken to the cross, the Bible says that we shared in his suffering. That is when we became part of Jesus. Is somebody understanding where I'm going? So we are blessed in him when his passion began. When Jesus started going through agony, going through pain, that is when you and I were placed in him. Therefore, Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, says this. Something is about to drop. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. He says, "For we are his workmanship." Is somebody following me? "Created in Christ Jesus." The Father's love descended on earth to create a new people. How were we created? Through his passion, the passion of Christ. Paul said, we have become his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Tell somebody, I am a new creation. Listen, the tomb was the womb of the new creation. Drop it. I know some of you will sleep on me, but I mean what I'm sharing. I understand it, and I have a burden in my spirit. Maybe you need to listen to this message again. It is going to bless your heart. The tomb, listen, the tomb of the new creation is the womb. The womb of the new creation is the tomb of Jesus Christ. Is somebody following me? Why? Because it takes a seed to be placed in the womb. Now, Jesus is the seed. And when he died, he was placed in the tomb. And when he rose up again, the tomb, which is the womb, was empty. And the emptiness means that he has given birth to new creation, a new people, a crop of people who will be filled with the Father's love, who will express the Father's love, who will live here on earth abounding in love, in every good work. If you are one of them, shout hallelujah. Something is about to drop on you. Is somebody following me? How many of you understand what I'm saying right now? So you must understand this, that just as it takes a seed to fertilize the womb, when the seed, which is Christ, was placed in the tomb, a new creation began. You are that new creation. I said you are that new creation. I said you are that new creation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1 to 5. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1 to 5. Let's quickly read it. The Bible says that, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace may abound? Continue with me. Paul said that, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Those who were immersed, where is the envelope? Where's the thing? Those who were placed, enveloped in Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So the same thing that Colossians talked about, the same thing Romans is also repeating it. So the only place that we became part of Christ is through the baptism. The baptism. Is somebody here with me? Now quickly continue. I know you're not understanding me, but you understand later. Therefore, we are buried with him. By what? Baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I came to tell you that even as Christ was buried and did not remain on the grave but rose up again, the Bible says that you died with him. You are actually placed in him. So whatever happened to him happened to you. When he was placed down, you were placed down. When he was lifted, you were also lifted. And I see your new life, even as Christ is resurrecting again, in the name of Jesus. Every situation, everything in your life is also resurrecting again right now in the name of Jesus. The Bible said that for this reason, if they knew, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. I came to tell you that many things that the devil do, that many things that happen, it took the devil by surprise. If he knew that at the end of the day, we too will come to become recipients of God's love, we too will come and share in with the love of God, they wouldn't have crucified him, because when they crucified Christ, they crucified me. As Christ was buried, I was also buried. When he rose up, I was also rose up. When he was given glory, I was also given glory. In case you don't know, I came to tell you that everything that you needed, everything that must be done, everything that will be done has already been accomplished in Jesus. That is why on the tree he shouted with a loud voice, "It is finished." As many that believe, give him a shout of praise. It is finished. I said it is finished. I said it is finished. Listen, the devil would have denied him being crucified if he knew that at the end of the day, whatever was happening to him was also happening to you. Wow. How many of you understand this word? God bless you as you understand it. Verse number 5. The Bible says, verse number 5, quickly. He said that, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the same likeness. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Yesterday was Friday. It looks as if the enemy has won the battle. It looks more like the hopes are dashed out. Nothing seems to be working. Everybody's expectation has gone bad. You can imagine the disciples, Peter and Co. All of them had been, they've gone to hide. Their hopes are dashed out. But they didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. It was hidden from the devil. There are things that God has hidden from the devil. There are things about your life that is not privy to anybody, even including the devil. You may be going through something today. Today is your Friday. Saturday you have gone to hell. In fact, things are getting worse and it looks like there is no hope for you. I came to tell you that your Sunday resurrection is about to take place. I said your Sunday resurrection is about to take place. Whatever could not keep Jesus on the grave will never be able to keep you down there. The Bible says that for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in his likeness, in his resurrection. Therefore, I speak of your resurrection now. Oh my God, that is sweet. I said, I speak of your resurrection now. I said, I speak of your resurrection now. Even though Christ was raised from the dead, so I see you rising from the dead in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to touch on one thing. Then we pray. We are going to pray. Seriously. Push somebody and say, we are about to pray. Now, many of us preach the gospel and they preach it in parts. It's not complete. Because the gospel must talk about the death, the barrier, the resurrection, the ascension, and the seating. Say the seating. Guys, push it. Say the seating. Tap three people and say the seating. And that is what I want to touch right now. Many people talk about the life of Jesus Christ, which is good. Many people talk about his death, which is wonderful. Many people talk about the barrier, which is good. Many people talk about the resurrection, i.e. everybody talk about the resurrection. Few people talk about the ascension. And few people talk about the city. Do you know that as we are speaking now, Jesus is seated in his majesty at the right hand of God as our intercessor, our great intercessor. He is not only seated there, we are also seated there with him. Can I push this? I love those who are enjoying the message. I know God is blessing you. Open your spirit. Now, according to Hebrews chapter number 9, Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 13 and 14. Very good. Everybody read this. He says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Continue. How much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purging our conscience from to serve the living God. Is somebody here with me? Very good. Now, give me verse number 12. Verse number 12. We jumped a little earlier. Good. Isn't verse number 12? Good. Everybody read. He said that neither. Good. By his own what? We are talking about Jesus, our high priest. Say, Jesus, our high priest. Tell somebody again, Jesus, our high priest. Now, Jesus is our high priest. And the concept of the high priest was taken from the days of Moses. When God gave Moses the plan or the pattern for the building of the tabernacle. Everybody, listen to me. Now, the pattern for the building of the tabernacle was not Moses' idea, but it was God's idea. And the idea was the same as pertains in heaven. So God had to show Moses how the tabernacle looks like in heaven, so that he can build the same here on earth. Is somebody here with me? And the tabernacle in heaven has the holiest of holies and the holy place. In the same way, the earthly tabernacle also has the holiest place and then the holy place. Is somebody following me? Now, in the earthly tabernacle, the priest goes into the holiest of holies once every year to make an atonement for the sins of the people. Is somebody following me? Now, when he goes, he must come back because he needs to go another year again and offer the sacrifice again and again and again. So, the early tabernacle, is somebody following me? The holiest place didn't have a seat. Because the earthly one, the holiest place, didn't have what? A seat in there. Because the bulls and the goats and the calves' blood could not totally remove the sin, but it covered it. So every year, the priest has to go in and offer another sacrifice. Kai, something is about to drop. But Jesus, that the Bible says is our high priest, when he ascended on high, the Bible said he took his seat. He seated at the right side of God, which means that at the holiest, the heaveniest, holiest of holies, when Jesus entered there, he sat down. Why did he sit down? Because it is finished. Nobody would have to go in and come back again to offer another sacrifice. I came to tell you on this Good Friday, the one who died and rose again, who ascended on high, has taken his seat, and he says, it is finished. No more sacrifices, no more bulls, no more calves, no more sin. I am seated at the right side of my Father, interceding. Come on, somebody shout, yeah. Is somebody here with me? Is somebody here with me? And he's not sitting there alone. He's sitting there with me. He's sitting there with me. I said, he's sitting there with me. Tonight I came with the word of the Lord to you, that whatever you desire, whatever you've been thinking about, whatever your worries are, Jesus said, on this Good Friday, on this breakthrough night, I should tell you that it is finished. Not will be, not shall be, not will be done. I wish there are people here, a new creation, people who are filled with the love of God, who are born out of the death, the barrier, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People who have shared in his passion. You are the new creation. I said you are the new creation. And everything is well. Everything is done. Everything is accomplished. It's up to you to exercise your faith in order to benefit, in order to believe. When Jesus died, he died for my healing. When Jesus died, he died for my deliverance. Yes, Lord. When Jesus died, he died so that I will never die anymore. Yes, Lord. Are there people here?
We are here.
Somebody be on your feet right
yes,
now.
Lord.
Somebody be on your feet right now.
Yeah.
The Bible said,
yes,
he was made sin for me.
Yes, Lord.
He was made sin.
Yes, Lord.
The one who knew no sin, he became sin for me, that I will have the righteousness of God. Somebody shout, he was made sin.
He was made sin.
The Bible says he was made to be sick so that I will never be sick again.
Yes, Lord.
The Bible says that he bore in his own body my sins. Do you know that sins can be born? Sins can be taken from a person and put on another person. Jesus literally took your sin and placed it on himself.
Yes, Lord.
When God saw Jesus Christ, he saw your sins.
Yes, Lord.
Is somebody here with me?
Yes.
He said, behold, the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that you and I should be called, the sons of God. Come on, somebody give him a praise this morning. He was crucified with me. I died with him. I was raised with him. We were made alive in him.
Yes, Lord.
We were raised. Do you know that Jesus was raised righteous, but he didn't die righteous? He was raised righteous and my righteousness, but he never died righteous because our sins were upon him.
Yes, Lord.
Is somebody here with me? Tonight, this Good Friday or this Easter can be meaningful to you. I don't know what you have heard. I don't know what may be going through your mind. But I came this morning to let you know that it is finished. It is finished means you just have to believe. That is why Paul said that by the operation of faith, you must engage your faith. You don't only believe, but you speak it. And in speaking, you speak that which has already been accomplished. You speak the present, the now. We are going to exercise our faith this morning. You are not going to say, Lord, you know, I will need this. You know, I will have to marry. You know that I will need the visa. No, that is not the one who has come to believe the benefit of the cross. The one who has come to believe the benefit of the cross says it is finished. My healing is finished. My marriage is finished.
Amen.
My visa, my traveling issues are finished.
Amen.
Beloved, I said we didn't come to excite ourselves. We come to walk by faith. And faith is what you speak. Faith is the now. And it's what you believe. Tonight, I don't know, but I know with my spirit that there are people here, as you declare, so shall it be. Raise your hands to the Father.
We trust that you've been blessed with the Word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church. Manna fed, manna satisfied.